Brother Jody Jenkins is going to come and preach in just a moment. Brother Jody is pastor up in Gray, Tennessee at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It happens to be the oldest independent Baptist church, oldest Baptist church in the state of Tennessee. He wasn't there when it was founded, but he's just followed a wonderful pastor, Brother Gene Lashley, who's been there for many, many, many years. And Jody came to the Lord through that ministry, was trained there, and now God has him pastoring that church. That's a great story, isn't it? Now, girls, I want you to sing, and I want you to be yourself. You don't have to be like anybody else in the whole wide world. Just be yourself. And I like it when you throw your head back and sing. Amen? I love it, don't you? I love all of it. So, listen, I learned to sing one way, by letter. Open up and let her fly. All right?
You take the word of God, please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I appreciate the message before me and getting to meet Brother Stansel. It's good to come back home. I appreciate this dear place and what it means to my wife and I. God bless you. It's good to be with Dr. Sexton again. He's a dear, dear friend, a mentor of mine, and I appreciate his friendship and what he's trying to do here. And we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his goodness to us. And we thank him for all that he's done for us. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 3 with me, please. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 5. It's my title, my topic, my theme, my text. It's the words, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the exalted privilege of being here in this place. Thank you for this meeting, for what you've already done. We pray for this day that you'll bless it and breathe upon it. May the Holy Spirit of God be our invited guest and help us as we preach. I confess my dependence upon you. I need your help. Please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. In the middle of these verses, we see the most important and key theme of the entire Word of God. As a matter of fact, we cannot preach on anything or anybody more important than the man, Christ Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago, the Virgin Mary gave birth to God's only begotten Son and called His name Jesus. What a thought that Christ Jesus became a man without ever ceasing to be God. And notice verse number 3 identifies God as our Savior. Yet elsewhere in Scripture, there's only one Savior in Isaiah 43:11. The Bible says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And in this verse, we see Jehovah God is identified as the Savior of the world. He's the only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy 1:10, Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1 and 11, 2 Peter 2:20, 2 Peter 3:8, Jesus Christ is identified as our Savior. And let me say loud and clear that Jesus Christ was not just a good man. Jesus Christ is God Himself. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, it says right here, before Abraham was, I am. John 1, 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The man Christ Jesus is also the God of eternity. As a matter of fact, the Word of God takes us from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And anytime you see the word Lord in all capital letters, that's Jehovah God in the Old Testament. And yet we see in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 15, that Jehovah God is called the stone of stumbling. Yet in 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8, Jesus Christ is called the stone of stumbling. In Isaiah 44, 24, Jehovah God is called the Creator. Yet in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus Christ is the Creator. In Isaiah 43, 11, Jehovah God is the only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy 1:10, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In Psalm 95, verse 3, the Jehovah God is King of Kings. Yet in 1 Timothy 6:14 and 15, Jesus Christ is identified as King of Kings. In Isaiah 44, 6, Jehovah God is Alpha and Omega. Yet in Revelation 1, 7 through 18, Jesus Christ is identified as the Alpha and the Omega. In Isaiah 40, 10 and 11, Jehovah God is known as the Good Shepherd. Yet in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus Christ said He is the Good Shepherd. In Isaiah 45, 23, the Bible says that every knee will bow to Jehovah God. Yet in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the name of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says in Isaiah 24, 23, that the Lord God Jehovah is ruling and reigning. Yet in Matthew 25, 31 and 32, Jesus Christ is ruling and He is reigning. In Isaiah 42, 8 and 48, 11, the Jehovah God has unshared glory. Yet in John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus said He shares the glory with His heavenly Father. Now this tells me something by means of introduction. Either the Bible is a lie or Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. He is the Lord God of heaven. And I'm telling, I'm going to give you three things from our text here about the man Christ Jesus. First of all, we notice His will in verse number 4. Look at it. Where the Word of God says, who will have all men to be saved. Now make no mistakes about it. It is the will of God for all men to be saved. And there's a movement going on that's already been mentioned that's known as hyper-Calvinism. And this hyper-Calvinism is a teaching that some teach that God has chosen some to eternal life and some to eternal death. In other words, they try to teach that only the elect can be saved and all others don't even have a chance to respond to the gospel. You know, I'm glad that's not true. I am so glad that God had me in mind when he died. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ezekiel 33:11 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us this. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong text here. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen, folks, I'm not going to take a man-made philosophy. I'll take the Bible, if you don't mind. And verse number 6 tells us that in our text that he gave himself a ransom for all. It is the will of the man Christ Jesus, who is God in flesh. It is his will for all men all over the world to come to the saving knowledge of his Son. I'm telling you that I serve a God that anywhere we go around the world, we can tell this person, God loves you, my friend. God died for you, and he wants you to be saved for all eternity. We see his will. Secondly, we see his work. And boy, I like this in verses 5 and 6 of our text. Well, the Word of God says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. In these two verses, we see the work of the man Christ Jesus. Now, this is not all of his work, but these are two major parts of his work today. Let me separate it. First of all, the work of mediation. We see this in verse 5. It says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know what the word mediator means here? It means a go-between. It means a reconciler. It carries the idea of two being in disagreement or at enmity with one another, with somebody else standing between them to bring them together. Now get this. We are all naturally children of wrath, Ephesians 2 verse 3. We are all born at enmity with God, Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. We are all separated from God by sin when we were born, Isaiah 59, 2. But Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, has stepped in and he has mediated our way. He has reconciled us to God by his sacrifice. Romans 5, 10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his Son, by the death of his Son. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Notice the one mediator is not Mary. The one mediator is not the Pope. The one mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus became a man, and as a man without ceasing to be God, he took one hand and he grabbed God the Father, and he takes the other hand and grabs the human race, and he reconciles us by the death of himself on the cross of Jesus Christ. Job 9:33 says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. I'm so glad that's not true in my case. I'm glad I have a daysman who has laid his hands on both of us. We see his work of mediation. Secondly, we see his work of redemption in verse number 6 of our text, where the Bible says, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, right here, before a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, They are sold under sin, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. They're under bondage and condemnation. By the way, before you got saved, that was you. And that was me too. But the man Christ Jesus gave himself to buy me off the slave block of sin. He has redeemed me by his precious blood. The word of God tells us in the book of 1 Peter, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. John 14, 6 says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 5, 6, Christ died for the ungodly. The word of God tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Titus 2, 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We were in hopeless debt, and yet Jesus stepped in and paid our debt in Luke 7, 41 through 50. We were slaves, and Jesus came to the marketplace to redeem us from bondage in Ephesians 1, 7. We were condemned criminals before the judgment seat of God, and yet Jesus stepped in and bore our penalty in order to set us free in Romans 5, 16. We were unclean Gentiles excluded by our defilement of sin from the presence of God. And yet Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice to consecrate for us a way of mercy and a way of grace in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. We were children in disgrace far from home, and Jesus brought us back to the family in Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. We were captives confined to the fortress of Satan, and Jesus broke in and he delivered us from bondage in Colossians 2, 15. We're looking at his work today. Looking at the man Christ Jesus has a will. He has a will for all to be saved. He has a work of mediation. He has a work of redemption. I heard of a story of an orphan boy who was living with his grandmother when their house caught on fire. And when the house caught on fire, the grandmother was trying to get upstairs so desperately to save her grandson, this orphan boy. And she perished in the flames trying to get to this boy. The boy is still up in this burning building, and he calls out. He says, somebody help me. I'm going to burn to death, please. There was a man standing on the street, and he saw an iron pipe, one of these iron pipes that hang on the side of the building, a drain pipe. And he grabbed that drain pipe, and he shimmied himself up until he got to that boy. And he put that boy around his neck and shimmied back down that drain pipe. Not long after that, there was a public hearing to determine who was going to get the boy because he was an orphan. There was lawyers there. There was a teacher there. There was wealthy citizens there. There was a farmer there. And they were all giving their reasons why they should be given the boy. And all of a sudden, there's a stranger that broke through, come in the back, and his hands are in his pocket. And he walked up. And as these other people were giving their cases, the little orphan boy, you could tell he didn't want to go with any of them. He just stood there silently, just staring at the floor. But when the door opened and this stranger walked in, he came over to the side and he pulled his hands out of his pockets. And they were scarred because that iron drain pipe that he climbed up was so steaming hot that it marked his hands and scarred his hands and marred his hands. And he said, here's the reason why you ought to give him to me. And when the boy saw this man, he recognized him. And he ran to him. And he jumped up and hugged him around the neck because it was the man that saved him that night. And when he saw the scarred hands, he realized, this is the man. Is the reason I'm here tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. We serve a good God.
The devil's out to get us. The world's out to get us. And all the time, the lovely Lord Jesus holds his sweet hands down. And he says, here's the reason that I have him. His nail-scarred hands. His nail-scarred feet. Praise his holy name. He's been good to us, hasn't he? By the way, I've learned not to be ashamed of tears. My preacher, Dr. Gene Lastly, he's my Moses. In the ministry over 50 years, pastored our church over 46 years. And he'd weep and weep and weep. And he'd tell our church, you know, many times, I'm not ashamed when I cry. He said, I'm ashamed I don't cry more often. And I want you to think about those nail-scarred hands. There was a little boy, and he made a boat. And he's so proud of the boat. And he went down to the river, and he put that boat in the water, and he had a string attached to it. He was so proud of it, watching that little boat just sail. He had made it, you know. But all of a sudden, there was a gust of wind that came up, and the current started pulling the boat away, and he was trying with all of his might to pull that boat back in. But the force of the wind and the current snapped the string, and his boat took off. And when his boat took off, he jumped up because it was his creation, and he ran after it, and he kept trying to get to it, but it just seemed that he got farther and further and further away. When finally it became too dark, and he realized that he had lost it. Not long after that, he was on his way home from school. And he looked in a store window and he saw a boat that looked just like the one he made. The one he lost. And he walked in and sure enough, it was. It was his boat. And he went to the store manager and he said, sir, he said, you don't understand this, but that's my boat. I made it. He said, well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to buy it now if you want it. It's going to cost a dollar. So he ran home and he gathered all of his change and he had just enough. He had a dollar. And he went back and he paid that manager and they gave him the boat. And here's what that young boy said on his way home. He put that boat up to his chest and he said, oh, he said, I love you, little boat. He said, you're twice mine now. He said, I first created you and now I have bought you. And in the same way, the man Christ Jesus was used to create everything you see, including you, including me. But yet we were sold under sin. And the devil says, if you want them back, you've got to buy them. And the lovely Lord Jesus steps out of glory. And he comes down here and lives a perfect, sinless life. And he lays his life down and sheds his precious blood. And we who are saved, he looks at us and says, I love you so much. You're twice mine now. I first made you. Amen. Now I've bought you. That's his work. There's a chorus that goes, he paid a debt. He did not owe, I owed a debt. I could not pay, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Amen. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen. That's his work. He's worthy, isn't he? Amen. The man Christ Jesus has a will for all men to be saved. He has a work of mediation and redemption so all men can be saved. Then number three, he has a witness. We see this in verse number 7 of our text, where the Apostle Paul says, whereunto all what I've just said, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. The thought I want to get you to see here is that in a nutshell, we see the Apostle Paul testifying to the fact that what he had just dealt with, the matter of the gospel being for all men, that God is not willing that any should perish, that the man Christ Jesus brings us back in the right standing with God by paying the ransom with his own precious blood. He says, I want the world to know something. I am ordained a preacher and an apostle for these things. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, everything I've just said to you has happened to me. And because he bought me and he's my mediator, he has given me the exalted privilege to tell the world that what he did for me He can do for them. Spreading the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And in the same way, if you've received the man Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you too have been ordained a witness to the truth. What truth? Truth that Jesus is the only way. He is the way to heaven. And He doesn't want anybody to miss it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If God didn't want every creature saved, why is He sending us to them? What a privilege to be a witness of the truth of the gospel. Spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. This meeting, what a meeting. I am so privileged to be here. I count it an honor that you've asked me to be here. And I love you, Dr. Sexton. And I love this church. And I love this Crown College. God's used this place in my life. And I give God all the glory. But I want to say something to you. This meeting's not about this place. This meeting is not about Dr. Sexton. This meeting is not about me. This meeting's not about you. This meeting's not about your church or our church. This meeting is about the man, Christ Jesus, who has a will for all to be saved, who has a work so all can be saved, and has a witness in all who are saved. The man, Christ Jesus. He is our purpose. He's our goal. And He is the one who wants us to take His name around the world. And may God help us to do that. Our Father, we love You this morning. And we thank You for the exalted privilege of preaching just a few minutes, so inaccurately, but just a few minutes, on the man Christ Jesus. You are the key center of the Bible. And help us, I pray, to do our part, I beg of You. Thy will be done in Jesus' name.